was the first sip of coffee. You have to say coffee in an American accent. I'm sorry. I need to slow down with that. I got some great technique for you. Got a great new product. So you're going to want to follow my 12-week program. Just kidding. But basically, I've been trying some meditation. And I wanted to tell you about it. So I was watching this thing with this therapist, listening to this podcast, right? And he was talking a lot about, first thing he mentioned that stuck with me was when we are anxious and we're in an anxious loop, like, call it the feedback loop or something like that. It was like a really cool term that you couldn't not remember, but I've seemingly forgotten it. You get these same thoughts that come in your head, right? We all do. We have like, I'm too this, I'm not enough this. But just to recognize that we're talking about ourselves so much, no wonder we're obsessed. Why don't we just stop thinking about ourselves for a moment? And, well, it's pretty easier said than done. But you can realize that you're not your own thoughts. Now, I tried to explain this to a few friends, but I can't yet. But basically, you're not your own thoughts, okay? You're not that guy. You ain't him, hun. You are able to see your thoughts from a second perspective, right? Which means, hopefully we can, it's not about changing them. It's not about going in there with a scapula and playing Mr. Operation. Be like, clear! And then, like, you know, making your way through to the, to crafting it into something. Your brain. It's about like disassociating yourself. So basically, here's a way to think of it, right? There's four modes of thinking. You have conscious and then thinking, we'll call it. Then you have unconscious and thinking. And then you have conscious and not thinking. And unconscious and not thinking. So some of them are just like, I don't know, a coma would be like unconscious and not thinking, right? But dreaming would be unconscious and thinking. See the difference? Unconscious and thinking, dreaming. Unconscious and not thinking, coma. Conscious and thinking would be kind of how you are most of the time, I think. And conscious and not thinking would be like, I think that would be like a dream. A daydream? No, conscious and not thinking. I can't remember those two, but basically there's a difference. And you've entered before a flow state, right? You know what I mean? And I don't, you know, when I first heard that term, that's why I was like 15 when I first heard that term, and I was like, and then I was watching like anime at the time or something, and I started thinking that wind would like turn around you and you turn Super Saiyan, like, I'm in the flow state, I've tapped in, I'm locked into this like ancient system, you know? But really, it just means, and it is actually that cool to me right now, it just means that you've found a way to delete everything temporarily, everything else. Isn't that cool? That feels so good, doesn't it? That's why we immerse ourselves in video games, books, and movies. And it's actually hard, you know, it's hard. It's a hard thing to do. That's why some people can't read books, because they can't stop thinking about other shit. That's what always happens to me. I just have a day eventually where I'm reading and I'm loving it, and then it's just something too much is on my mind that I'm just like, this reading thing ain't for me. But really, it's nothing to do with the reading. It's just, I couldn't fucking put down my thoughts. So, coming back to the feedback loop in step one of my 8-week program. So, that's when you can, like, take yourself out of the moment for a little bit. And maybe do a little meditation. Now, it only takes a few minutes. You don't have to go on a 15-minute... You don't have to go on a 4-hour hike up Mount Jehuvius. You just gotta sit there. And I'll tell you my technique, okay? So when we're in high school, did your friends ever go, hey Will, your mum your mum, yeah, we all like a good your mum joke. She liked one in the pink, no, two in the pink and one in the sink. Pretty gruesome, right? Pretty gruesome. But the two fingers, your last two fingers, and then you take your two fingers and fold them in, your middle and your index, and you keep your thumb out. So you look like you're doing this weird Star Trek greeting. But basically, let me take a sip. Can you tell? I need a sip. So I'm having coffee today. One in the pink, no, two in the pink, one in the sink. That kind of joke, right? So take your index finger and middle finger and fold them in and keep the other two extended. It's kind of hard to do. It kind of feels a little bit uncomfortable. I'm just going to tell you my technique. It doesn't matter. And then, yeah, anyway, you put your thumb against your nose. Sorry, there's going to be some uncomfortable breathing because I hate listening to other people breathe for their nose. Do you know what I mean? But we'll just go with it. Okay, we're in chillax mode. You put your right. He said do this with your right hand, by the way. So I just do it with my right hand. That's what I'm saying. Masturbation. So put your right thumb against your right nostril, and then breathe in through your left nostril. Do a nice big breath, Marmy. You got this? No, you don't have to follow along. I'm just demonstrating. And then you take those two fingers that are sticking out on the other end of your hand and you place them against your left nostril and you breathe out through your right nostril. And then breathe in through your right nostril. Now, obviously, do this slower at your own pace. And then take your thumb, put it against your right nostril and breathe out through your left. So you're breathing in through one, breathing out the other. And it's basically enough of a Rubik's Cube of a task to keep your mind on it and not onto other things. At that moment, you lose the ability to think. Now you don't, okay? We're not good at it yet. We're noobs. We're novices. You're thinking about everything. You're like, oh, what about my dog doing, though? What is my dog doing? Like, what about the agenda? But you keep going with it, and I think we'll get better at it. So I'm in the early stages. Maybe I'll just come back to you next time and just be like, that shit, put it in the can. You know, I read an article and they said the meditation industry has had an investment from Jeffrey Bezos, and like, it's all just a hoax, you know. He's getting our minds buttered up for Neuralink. Oh wait, that's the other billionaire we don't like. Anyway, not necessarily don't like, you know, they might be cool. I'd have a drink with that guy, but fuck me, I'd like a few pennies. Anyway, so the whole point is to stop that feedback loop. Just cut it off. I disobey you, because you know, you gotta know right now, okay? Every anxious thing you're feeling, you gotta know that it's all kind of bullshit. You know what I'm saying? It's just an attack on yourself. Basically, the way he described it, it was like an autoimmune disease, but for your brain, where it's got so good at now, like, anxiety and anxiousness is like a super good evolutionary trait, because it helps you stop getting murdered, right? Because if you weren't anxious, and like, you were a king, a queen of the castle, and you didn't really think, oh, all these men marching up to my castle, they must be friends, let them in. And they all had bombs or poison or something. Then, you know, you fucked up. You needed some extra anxiety there. But obviously, it goes out of whack. And this is how you get, like, these people who are depressed. This is what happens with depression. You overthink it and stuff like that, right? And it just becomes a function of your body now. It's not like a sadness that you can work through. Anyway, I'll learn a bit more about it and tell you a bit more about it, because you know, it needs some more application. I just did it before I started recording, and you know, it was pretty good. I forgot to tell you this. After you, when you feel like you've done, you know, just do it for like 3 or 4 minutes a day. It's not a lot, is it? Rub your hands together till they're nice and warm. Ah, no, not really. And then cup them over your eyes before you open them, and then you open your eyes. And I guess that's, I didn't know what, you didn't say why you do that, but I guess it's some ritualistic thing to like, it's a warm way to bring you back into reality, I guess. I don't know. But I really recommend it. I really do recommend it. Yeah, it was good. So another thing about it is when we're anxious, this is what we're saying. I am worthless. I am not enough. You're talking about yourself all the time. So I. But if you've ever experienced a period of non-anxiety, you're actually not like that, you know? Because even when, I feel like this is true, right? Even when you're at a peak in your life, or you can pretend, can think about a moment when you're really at a high point, your anxiety will never go away. It won't. I was watching a bit of a side tangent. There's a guy called Hassan. Have you heard of this guy? He's like a political commentator on Twitch. Left-leaning. And he's got a lot of kind of... To be honest, I don't really... I'm quite a left person in general. Not to get into politics or anything. But I don't really agree with this guy too much. I mean, I do in principle probably. But anyway, he's a bit of a dumbass. If you ask me... Because, anyway, basically, this guy is, like, a millionaire, he's fucking handsome as fuck, you know, he used to be fat, but now he's not, and I think that has a huge problem on his psyche, but one of the things about him is that he will have one message in his Twitch chat about a criticism, and he'll go off on it for, like, an hour. And it's like, bro, you're everything. You've got everything that you could probably want, that you thought you want. But the fact that anyone, but one comment is enough to send him. He's not happy, is what I'm saying. He has anxiety. He's got something in him that is eating him up. You know what I'm saying? Like we all do. And I think it's because we focus on ourselves. Even when you get to the high, you become a millionaire and you have a nice mansion. And, sorry, I keep thinking about that guy now. Because, like, apparently he's, like, a millionaire, but he's, like, living... He's also advocates for communism. But he lives in, like, a $1 million mansion. So, I don't know what's going on there. I don't fucking know anything about politics, by the way. I just like the whole, my favourite thing about it is the debate. And I listen and I try and, like, I don't necessarily decide a winner for myself. I'm like, let me make a good point here. But I never really know what the fuck I'm talking about, so don't ask me, okay? Right, so this, that implies that we just never get out of it. Do you know what I mean? We'll never get away from focusing on ourselves, which is understandable, right? Why not, right? I'm the most important person to me, I guess. But are you? I mean, if you're lucky enough to have a great support system around you, the people that you value and you know that they value you, that's all you need, okay? And it can be in a very small way, but it's enough to give you a purpose to extrapolate some of your worries to them, for them. And that feels much better because you know you can, you feel like you can fix them. You don't feel like you can fix yourself. So that's what I've always, that really rang true to me when he said that. I was like, hey, yeah, every time I've been anxious, I'm always just worrying about how good or bad I'm doing. Am I doing good enough? Oh my God, I'm garbage at this. In reality, you always, like, no matter how much you progress, it still happens. You know, like, body dysmorphia is, like, a thing that affects bodybuilders a lot. And, you know, you damn right, it probably affects them more. It's really hard to believe, isn't it? Because someone who's like, I've seen this documentary of this guy, And he was looking insane, you know. He was jacked, ripped, like you could see every. You could put him in a science lab, do you know what I mean? And he was looking in the mirror, and he was like, "This too fat. This like not enough muscle here. Underdeveloped." And it's like, holy shit! Like, this guy's in the top 0.1%, and that's not enough. That's not enough. So, something to think about, isn't it? If you'll never be enough, you might as well just start being enough now. You might as well just remove yourself a bit from the eye. And by the way, I want to say, he was kind of saying a lot about being a good person and finding a purpose, and being a good person is a different thing, I think. Your purpose might not be to be a good person. My purpose used to be that, like when I wanted to be vegan and everything, I felt like I was on a very righteous journey. And but I don't think necessarily your purpose has to be being a great person. Because that can be super inconvenient, right? Because, like, there's times in my life where I've, like, signed up for being a good person. And I mean on a very small scale, where you say yes to someone. When you say, yes, or I guess I can do that. And, like, it's not your priority, okay? Prioritize yourself, but I guess it's I can't really understand the difference of what I'm talking about now, where you're prioritizing yourself, but you don't want to always be talking about yourself. It's prioritizing your own happiness. And anyway, you get what I'm saying? Hopefully some of that made a lot of sense, and it was like useful. But I'll be trying the meditation thing a bit more. And that flow state is what it is, because the guy he was talking to was like this gamer dude who was historically depressed, and basically he would immerse himself in the video game because it wasn't him at that moment. He's not him. He's in a flow state. He's in like I love that term, by the way. I just love it. It sounds like you're like you're in the Avatar movie, and you're like in a simulation. Do you know what I mean? But some people find that with books, don't they? Some people find that with movies and shows, and you can find it in lots of ways, in work, right? So it's a thing that we should try and get into more. But I reckon you can probably do it when you're not. I think people do it in cooking too, right? It's like, what it is, it's probably just like the times of intervals and shit that your brain works. Like, maybe in gaming, you're constantly like, boom, 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 boom. Like, you're constantly given a new problem to solve if you're playing a hard game. Or not. Maybe it's a chill game and there's no problems to solve and that's how you relax. Like, Stardew Valley and Minecraft and shit. It's not really about beating the game up the ass. It's just about enjoying it to as much as you can. Anyway, there's lots of things you can do, you know. Yeah, I feel like I've probably done it a lot throughout my life. It's the comfort, right? Comfort eating is one way we do it, but there could probably be a better way, you know. I don't know, comfort eating, because I remember doing it, and like I probably still do, you know. Yeah, I could talk a bit about that. Okay, let me talk about that. So, I used to be 300 pounds, when I was like probably around 18, 19. Okay, and I don't know why, basically what it was is I didn't grow up in a very affluent setup. Okay, I was raised by a single mom, and oh, this is a sob story for you. It's not really that sad. It's really not. I don't see myself as hard done by or anything, okay? But I'm just giving you the context, right? And basically, what happens when you kind of grow up poor is you tend to latch on to things that over, like, as kids, you get jealous and they're getting stuff and you're not. That kind of thing, right? If you see a kid and they're talking about what dinner they had, even, like, one thing was with gaming, okay? I'll get into some cool stuff here. I'm just telling you how I'm not trying to be a big, like, arrogant here and tell you about my life, It's not anything to brag about. I just want to share it with you, and you can feel free to share me with yours. But hopefully it's a way of downloading why you behave the way you do. So, right, I'm this kid in high school, and I remember the Xbox 360 had just come out, right? And I'll get back to the food thing. Everyone's got it. Everyone's got the new card game. And I was a massive Halo fan, so I was already kind of like a black sheep. Halo was not popular in the UK. Everyone was all about Call of Duty, headshot, no scope, 360. There's something called a ladder stall where you climb up a ladder and then you jump backwards off it, do a fucking like 720 degree spin on your controller when your sensitivity is like super high, and then they just shoot into thin air. And they would just kill them because it was that small of a chance that they would be doing it 8 hours a day in their bedroom, just sitting there, hoping to get that one clip to go viral, to end up as a superstar, MLG, gamer, foreplay. Some of those words make sense, but you know what I mean? Like, people were proper into their gaming, and we didn't have an Xbox 360. We had the old Xbox. And for like, I remember 3 years went by, and like, I trust me, okay, just want to say again, this is not a sob story, because people got it way worse. Like, my mum was like, got you an Xbox, or something, and we were like, fuck yes, we got a 360 now. And that is, you have nothing to do as a kid, by the way, like, you're just so bored when you're not at school, and school is hell, you know, so it's like, choose boredom or choose hell. Like, this would have changed your life, do you know what I mean? Like, I've got a nephew right now who's 11. If you fucking give him like 5 minutes on your computer, he fucking cum in his pants. Probably shouldn't have said that. Right, so we found out it wasn't an Xbox 360, it was just another Xbox. My mum was just like illiterate when it came to technology, which is understandable. And like, that was like, oh. But here's the great silver lining in all of this. I'm now a person who doesn't really need a lot, like, in terms of spoiling myself, in terms of feeling that, you know, that big release you get from when you spend a bit of money and you're like, oh, I bought myself a new thing. Like, you know, it's okay if you're that person, I'm not judging, right? But some people buy a new phone every year, don't they? Some people probably buy a new phone every 6 months, and I'm just in a different mindset. I'm not even saying it's a good thing. So I'm gonna take a step. So you get what I'm saying, that basically, the silver lining, sorry, is it got me to a point where I now had to make do. I had to find my own boredom, and it's developed my personality, I would say, too. It's made me able to have conversation without getting bored, but I definitely have ADHD now, but I don't know where that comes from. But I can keep up conversation, because it's almost like you've just been living with the bare minimum. I think a lot of people, I mean that's a small thing. Basically, it meant that when I was like, you know, when you leave high school and you've got like no money, and every bit of money to you is precious, not saying it isn't now, but you don't have bills to pay, but you also have no money. Basically, every bit of money to you, it comes and goes so fast, you don't have savings necessarily. And like, a new game would come out, I'm hanging out with my friends, and it's like, I'm not going to get that. Like, it looks good, they're all spending £60 on it, and I'm like, I want it, but I can't get it. Like, I can't justify it. I've got £120 in my bank. If I spend half of it on a video game, I fucked up. Now, my friends are not as smart as that. I'll say that is a judgment. Like, they'll just go and waste half of their money. I have friends who fucking don't have any money and they're buying a new game every week and they haven't worked in 7 years. And it's like, they just don't have any ability, any foresight with it. So that's what being poor kind of teaches you, right? But there's a double-edged sword to it. Because with the food thing, I even got jealous. I don't even remember the specific feeling, by the way, of being like, he has chicken nuggets, why can't I have chicken nuggets? That's all I wanted, like a fucking chicken nugget meal. That's all I wanted. But basically, we didn't get treated that often. And whatever happened, because I had a eating problem, none of my siblings did, really. Well, my sisters, kind of. It comes from, my mum was very, like, typical, strict, older generation, where it's like, you know what our parents say? I don't know if your parents said this. They were like, if you don't clean your plate, then you're not having dessert, or you got to eat everything on your plate. I think it's kind of damaging, okay? Why are you telling them, if they're full, fair enough. Like, I mean, if they're not full and they're just being idiots, not eating their food, but we like to force our kids to eat. Which, I don't know, I'm not a fucking parent, I should shut the fuck up a little bit. But basically, they just love saying that shit. They loved saying that shit, my parents. They were like, Will, eat fucking food. And it doesn't matter if you're done. You're going to get a slapping. Or you're just going to get treated like shit by your parent if you don't finish your food. Anyway, and when you're having bad meals all the time, like, it's a meme, but beans on toast was like the cheapest meal you can have, right? Because a tin of beans was literally like 15 pence and then a loaf of bread is nothing, you know? So like, that was literally a lot of my meals as a kid. And even when I was in high school, my mum would sometimes give me money for food, because I don't think we got like free school dinners or anything like that. You had to be really poor for that. But I don't know why we didn't, actually. I think my mum just never signed up, because probably could have qualified. Anyway, I would save my money, and on the weekends, I would go to there's a pound shop, you know, like a dollar store, 99p store, and I would just buy loads of junk food and have, like, the food I wanted. And then I got, you know, then you got addicted, reliant, and you get emotionally attached to food, because food is your friend, and, like, it still carries with me now, right? You can tell the way I talk about food every fucking podcast. I love it. It was that comfort for me. And I don't think you have to have had a lower upbringing, a poorer upbringing to be a food. But I would say this, that I'm pretty sure areas that are more, you know, poverty stricken, not necessarily poverty. Sorry if I've said anything that's fucking pissed you off, by the way. You know what I'm saying? Like, poverty-stricken, poor areas, they're more likely to be overweight, because it sounds like you might misinterpret that they've got money now and they don't know how to use it. Now, that is kind of true for me. Because as soon as I got my first job, I was eating like a fucking king, okay? I would just go, 12 packet of Swiss rolls. Fucking eat them all. Like little sponge cakes with jam in them, you know what I mean? And I remember I just wanted to eat crackers and cheese, which is just so random for like a 19-year-old or whatever. And I just ate like a whole block of cheese on crackers, not in one sitting, but I remember like in 2 days I had like a whole block of cheese in like 2 or 3 days, and I was like, okay, like, and that's when I first noticed that I was getting overweight a lot, and like I developed a really bad habit. I'd already had it probably, but I didn't have the potential to dig into it because I didn't have any money. And thing is with food, it's not like it's harder to make good choices, because with your bank account and you're thinking about big choices like new video games or whatever, or bigger things now where we're adults, like, do I really want, like, I don't need to spend $50 on this new thing, mine's fine, you know, it'll be broken in a few months, then I'll replace it or whatever. But with food, it's only a small transaction, so it's much more easy to justify. And do you know what I'm saying, though? Does that kind of make sense? It's not necessary. I mean, I definitely had the bad choices when it comes to food. I still do. And I'm getting better, though. Like, my fridge is full of salad and fucking ham and shit. But I know that in a week from now, I haven't ordered, like, delivery in, like, 4 weeks. That doesn't sound like a lot, but that is a lot for someone like me. It is. And, like, I even remember, like, forgetting to cancel my Uber payment come out, like, a few weeks ago, and I still haven't ordered. Because I was like, oh, I'm not gonna be baited by you. And I'm not actually trying that hard to resist. I've just got a lot of things distracting me a bit more, I think. But yeah, you can see what I'm saying. I have really like weird things revolving around food. And for a lot of people, it's a different thing, I imagine. I wonder what affects you, affects people like that. You know, what's your story, you know? I feel like this is a Blues Clues episode. Do you ever watch that show? I love that show. Blues Clues. We just found a Blues Clues. We just found a Blues Clues. And I love that show. Oh, I know a show that I miss. Art Attack. You ever watch Art Attack? Oh my god, I love that show. It's like Bob Ross, but for kids, you know. Anyway. I hope that was insightful or relatable or something. Do you know what I mean? It's funny when you think of psychology and how it all relates back to our childhood. And have you ever done a deep analysis on yourself and why you feel like you've got some shortcomings and like why you behave like that? Why are you like this? Maybe I can think about it to do with relationships too. I didn't have much success with the ladies. I'm going to tell you what happened on my prom. Oh my god. I'm going to tell you what happened on my prom. It wasn't that bad. But basically, there was this girl I was used to flirt with. Not really flirt massively. But this is 16, by the way. Awkward as fuck. And like, there was just a smile thing. Do you know what I mean? I didn't have a smile thing with other girls, but with her, I had a smile thing. Isn't that a cute term? A smile thing. And I remember just always having a smile thing with her. And then I remember asking her to prom eventually. And, no, I didn't ask her. I said, oh, if you're at prom, maybe we can dance or something. It was so awkward. So awkward. And she said, yeah, you know. And then we got there and I was like eyeing her up the entire night. And then she was dancing with somebody else. And I got so jealous. And all of my friends were losers. So it was so easy for me to become a loser too. Do you know what I mean? That day. Where it's just like, alright, fuck it. It's over. You know what I mean? Bye. We'll put it in the bin. You know. And then I went home. And as soon as I went home, I messaged her. Oh my god. So bad, like, oh my god, like, it's so crazy how different you would have just done things. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would be the king of the fucking 18-year-old prom right now. Anyway, it's just funny to think about it. I messaged her and I was like, I forgot what I said, but she didn't like blow me off or anything, and then I just never spoke to her again because school was over. Do you know what I mean? And it was like, well, gotta sort my life out now. So anyway, another thing about my history with girls. I remember being in like locker room conversations with guys, and I'm talking like age 13 to 14, okay? And you're just talking about which girls are hot, right? It's like, oh yeah. Don't know. And every time they would mention a girl, I would be like, yeah, oh yeah, I would. And they would be like, they wouldn't say anything. They would say the opposite. They'd say no, not her, or like, she's, you know, horrible shit, like she's ugly, blah blah blah. You know how it is, right? We all fucking were that vile as kids. But I kind of wasn't when it came to the female sex. I started to realize that, like, I would. And there was even girls who had like a really bad reputation, not for being sluts, because it's fucking 13 or 14. As well, this is like the time period I'm thinking of, but like just for being, I don't know, gross, or people would like be really mean and shit. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Like, hygiene was a big thing when you were a kid, because we're all adults now, we can all kind of manage hygiene now. But as kids, you're like, what the fuck is this hygiene thing? But even those kind of girls, I was like into. Do you know what I mean? I was like, not into, but I wasn't being like, I'm gonna go and ask her out. But I'll just be like, yeah, I actually would. Sounds kind of gross, you know. But anyway, what I'm saying is, I realized that I was like a bit more open-minded than a lot of guys. And it didn't actually help me get laid or anything. It really didn't. I'm gonna tell you my other sexual. I never had any sexual experiences in high school except this one small thing. And I kind of didn't realize how cool it was at the time, as fucked up as it is to say that. So I was in music class, and there was a little room sep next to it with all the pianos in, okay? And we were in that room, and then we would go back into the main room at the end of the lesson to talk to the teacher, blah, 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 send you home. Because I think it was the last lesson of the day. And I'm going to be careful what I say, just because, yeah. We're on the pianos, whatever, and we're all transitioning over, except me. I'm talking to this girl, and she's like an emo chick and everything, but she's like a thick emo chick, and yeah. She just started bending over in front of me, and you could see like ass crack and everything. And her friend was there, just like laughing because of how awkward it was. And I didn't do anything, I didn't touch, I didn't say anything. I just didn't know what to do. I just kind of looked, and that was kind of the end of it. And I think I remember her saying stuff as well. And like, you know, being very enticing. And she was the type of girl you could tell. I mean, I don't even need to tell you. She'd probably had sex before, right? At this point. I'm almost 16, you know. And I feel like this is why I have some submissiveness in me. You know what I mean? Or affinity for a brat or something. Or do you know what I mean? Ability to be seduced. Because of an experience like that, I really like that experience. That's all I'll say. And I feel like I'm so stupid because there could have been an opportunity, right? But I was just such an awkward teenager at this point in my life. I didn't know what to do with my penis, you know what I'm saying? So I just didn't do anything with it. So yeah, that was my entire. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that really, like, no, I think that was it. That was my entire time in high school, like relationships and women and everything. But yeah, I really started to think I had an affinity for finding women attractive, because people would pick out the littlest things, and I didn't have a time for that shit. So, and I think that's still follows me, and it's probably why I'm good at like praise audios and including all kinds of women, because I've never really seen anything as a negative, you know, that other people see, and that helps. That is, I'm lucky to feel like that, because I still see it, man. I still see people who just see, like, you know, I watched that Shallow Hal movie recently, and like this woman comes in, there's a scene, excuse me. She's got like massive boobies on display. We all love boobies. And she rolls up on a bicycle, and she starts inviting this guy. It's the guy from Seinfeld. She invites him to a John Lennon and like Eric Clapton concert. So basically, like the gods of music at the time. And he zooms in on her toe, and her toe is like a little bit bigger than the other toes, her middle toe. And he says no. And that's kind of a joke. It's funny because she's like beautiful and she's inviting him to this epic concert and he says no because of her toe. That's what I honestly did feel like a lot of people around me were kind of like. That's the way I looked at them. I was like, are you fucking serious? So what? Like, this person's a bit like this. So, have you seen everything else about them? You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of my way of, like, that's how I got to, I'm glad I wasn't as shallow. Now, I don't want to pretend that, like, I'm a fucking Jesus and, like, I can just, I'm just seeing the beauty in everyone and everything, okay? But, yeah, it's kind of a cool thing about me, I feel like. Something I'm proud of. I'm happy that I feel like that. Is that fair to say? So, yeah, that's what I feel like it comes across in my work and stuff. And there's an appreciation for everything. And it's actually been really hard to... Not really, really hard, but it's been... Something I always think about was the way I... The language I use in my audios. And how I'm trying to keep it all inclusive and... And but still, you know, there's that balance between being inclusive and then being hot, being attractive, because you can say, I really love the roundness of your ass. But if someone said to you, I love how your ass is round here, but then here it's like another, it's like a different roundness, it's like an extra bump, you know what I mean? Like, that would be hotter if your body was like that. So the more specific feedback you get, better. Right, but you can't do that in audios because you're casting a wider net. Do you know what I'm saying? That's why commissions are good. But anyway, I always felt like that. I always felt like I was appreciating more of the detail, and I feel like some people were looking at the detail and taking it in wrong. Anyway, I've rambled on about all that for long enough now, and yeah, I think you. I hope you like that. You want to play some truck bingo? You want to play some truck bingo? I'll set it up. Okay. Lee Bryce, Soul. Name's not the same. Looking for truck, whiskey. I don't think this is going to be a truck. I'll accept Cadillac. There's no way. Yo, baby. Okay, we're going to go next. Ooh, Tennessee Orange. It's a female voice. Is she gonna talk about trucks? Mama, I'm calling. I've got some news. Don't you tell daddy, he'll blow a fuse. Don't worry, I'm doing okay. I know you raised me to know right. I'm gonna say any drink and any vehicle. Okay. This is getting hard today. It's going to be a tough one. To his truck? No. Lovely song though. Okay, could be a few trucks here. Cadillac, SUV. She ain't a peach, you ought to be picking. She ain't the cup of tea. I'm fixing what? Mm-hmm. Oh! That came out of nowhere! The whiskey in your soul. Is that what she said? Yeah, boy, I can be the whiskey in your soul. Yeah, boy, I can be the whiskey in your soda. The whiskey in your soda, the what, the lime? The lime in your Corona. Fuck, this is a combo. Tacoma! No way, there's a fucking card swap! What's she saying? Is that... She said Tacoma, right? Toyota. Am I tripping? Wait a minute. What's that? An RGT? I don't know. Is that another... If you got to tell me how many combo... I count two, maybe three. Is there more? She ain't. Wow. That was a freaking combo. Love this song. Shotgun in your Tacoma. Is that like a romantic line? Do you think? Because it said Corona shotgun in your Tacoma. That is such a cool line, though. Wow, I love that song. I kind of just want to see if the next one's got something. Oh, this is promising. If you could see the album cut artwork. Oh, yeah. Oh. Oh, what did he put you in? Ah, oh, come on. Okay, it's promising, isn't it? So what car was it? Did you drink anything? Listen to this all day, though. Okay, he hasn't got it, though. Loved it, though. This one is... I won't tell you the name, but there's no way this one doesn't have a... It was right after senior year. Just before the summer disappeared. Oh, yeah. Winter riding them old farmers. What? Hanging out on the gate of his truck. Oh, hey. I think it's got more, though. Being brave is 18 years. Yeah. There you go.
I was his and never been a lad, boy, it was mine.
Watermelon Moonshine. Okay. We got two in that one too. It was a successful day. Oh, I could listen to this all day though. It's so relaxing. But I'll just let it feed out and end on a high note. So, thanks for hanging out. I hope it was a lovely conversation and hope it was nice. Tell me what you're feeling about yourself and if you've ever discovered anything like really cool about yourself is what I mean. Like really interesting and like I hope some of what I told you was relatable. Do you know what I mean? Any like weird quirks that you I feel like quite key to who you are, right? Anyway, have a great day. Well, don't let me tell you what to do. I feel like having a shit day. Do that too. And love you and leave ya. Okay? Adios. Bye. Doing a cool radio thing here. Just gonna listen to the end. Drinking watermelon moonshine. We cut the